Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, October 1st, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and Canada strike a last-minute deal on a new North American trade agreement.
Mexico's peso and Canada's dollar strengthen. U.S. futures gain and Japanese stocks hit a 27-year high.
And shares of Tesla surge after Elon Musk and the company settle with the SEC.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation is on hold with a limited FBI investigation underway. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets lost in Jacksonville. The Giants beaten by the Saints. Yankees lost. Mets won. Two National League division titles will be decided today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
And U.S. futures are gaining to start the new trading week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 210, NASDAQ futures up 63, the DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, FTSE 100 up 0.1%, Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 3.09%, the yield on the 2-year 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 26 cents to $73.51 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5%, down $6.50 to $11.89.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.16.15. The yen, 1.14 even. Bob.
We begin with a new trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. President Trump is set to sign an agreement making modest revisions to NAFTA after U.S. and Canadian negotiators struck an accord just before last night's midnight deadline. Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove reports.
If this deal goes through, you're looking at no longer a threat of auto tariffs, which is a huge Canadian export, and it's uncertainty going away for the U.S. as well. Canada, of course, is the top buyer of U.S. goods, so it's certainty for U.S. exporters as well. Canada looks to have given on dairy, although it sounds like it might be in the ballpark of what they've given before in other trade deals. But the big risk for Trudeau politically and economically was for this all to collapse. By avoiding that, it will be seen by default as a win for him, and at least he thinks it is. He told us it's a good day for Canada. Still has got to go through Congress, though, so that's going to be a big hurdle as well.
Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove. This new deal will be called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. Mexico's peso and Canada's dollar both strengthened on the news.
Tesla is in focus again today. Shares are up 15% in early trading after a settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission is forcing Tesla to tighten the reins on its outspoken CEO. Bloomberg's Mark Mills has details.
Under an agreement reached over the weekend, Elon Musk will have to step down as chairman of Tesla but can remain as CEO, and he will pay a $20 million penalty to settle SEC fraud charges related to his tweets about taking Tesla private. Musk can return as chairman after 3 years. Tesla will also pay a $20 million penalty, though neither Musk nor the company admitted any wrongdoing under the agreement. The electric car maker must appoint an independent chairman, add 2 new independent directors, and implement controls to oversee Musk's communications. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Mark, that wasn't the only thing Mr. Musk worked on over the weekend, with the CEO making a final push for Tesla's first ever quarterly profit. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke explains.
Tesla was trying to push as many Model 3s out the door as possible before midnight on Sunday to try and pump out as many deliveries for the third quarter as possible. Volunteers had actually stepped in to help deliver cars to new buyers, and Musk did write to employees to say that they were on the cusp of an epic victory. Goldman Sachs estimates third quarter deliveries of about 52,000 Model 3s, so if we do see that, it may mean that Tesla does indeed become profitable.
Bloomberg's Christine Burke. An initial verdict on that effort may come as soon as today, when we could get Tesla's latest production and delivery figures.
In Asia today, trading volumes were low with markets in Hong Kong and China closed, but Japan's Nikkei managed to finish the day at its highest level in nearly 27 years. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
The yen's weakness has helped propel the Nikkei to November 1991 levels, with the index up almost 9% from a recent low reached in early September. The yen remains at November lows, with drug makers, retailers and other defensive shares tracking higher on its weakness. Tourism stocks weighed on Indonesia's Jakarta Composite Index after an earthquake and tsunami hit the island of Sulawesi, killing more than 800 people. Hong Kong trade resumes tomorrow, while China will be out of action all week for the Golden Week celebration. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. China's manufacturing gauges worsened in September, suggesting a trade war with the U.S. is taking a toll on the economy there. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
The official PMI softened to 50.8 in September versus 51.3 in August, and the Caixin PMI, reflecting smaller firms, declined to 50 from 50.6. All of this suggests fallout from the trade angst. Some respite comes from the official non-manufacturing PMI, which picked up to 54.9. That indicates that domestic demand for services is strong enough to offset some external headwinds. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Italian bonds are tumbling as the country's finance minister seeks to sell Italy's wayward budget to his euro area counterparts. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Well, the move follows a report that the EU is set to reject Italy's budget proposal in November. Last week, the country's government agreed to a deficit of 2.4% of GDP, which spooked financial markets. While the 2019 spending plan is not on today's Eurogroup agenda in Luxembourg, Finance Minister Giovanni Tria is certain to face questions about the proposal on the sidelines. That's after Italy's president and central bank chief joined in a verbal brawl over the weekend. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. And in the UK, manufacturing growth unexpectedly picked up in September, rounding off the third quarter on an upbeat note. IHS Markets Purchasing Managers Index for the industry rose to 53.8 last month. That beat economists' estimates for a drop to 52.5.
S&P futures are up about 18 points, Dow futures up 204, NASDAQ futures up 61, and the 10-year Treasury down 8/32nd, yield 3.09%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now, 6:07 on Wall Street. Tsunamis, deadly aftermath. Here's Bloomberg's John Tucker with the latest. Good morning.
And good morning to you, Bob. Indonesia's most destructive earthquake and tsunami since 2009 has claimed at least 800 lives so far. Let's get an update from Jakarta this morning and Bloomberg's Reki Rekidana.
The death toll is likely to climb into thousands as rescuers have yet to reach some of the affected areas, hampered by power and telecommunication blacked out. The region still continues to be battered by aftershocks, and it will be a long road to recovery for the people of Sulawesi, a predominantly agricultural region with rich mineral resources. In Jakarta, Ricardo Hadiana, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation is on hold with a limited FBI investigation underway. We get details from Washington at Bloomberg's Nathan Hager.
Senate Republicans want the FBI to take just 1 week, and sources tell Bloomberg certain topics may be off limits, including a third woman's misconduct claims, as well as Kavanaugh's drinking. Senate Democrat Amy Klobuchar tells CNN State of the Union,
"The White House should not be allowed to micromanage an FBI investigation."
But on Fox News Sunday, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says that's not what's happening.
The White House counsel has allowed the Senate to dictate what these terms look like and what the scope of the investigation is.
In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The National Association for Business Economics releases the results of its 2018 Outlook survey today. Economists surveyed predict GDP growth for this year, driven by business fixed investment and government spending, but held back by the White House's escalating tariff wars. Richard Wobkind is the chief economist at the University of Colorado's Leeds School of Business.
50% lowered their GDP growth forecast for this year based on the trade situation, and 80% lowered their GDP forecast for 2019.
California Governor Jerry Brown has signed the nation's toughest net neutrality measure Sunday, requiring internet providers to maintain a level playing field online. The move prompted an immediate lawsuit by the Trump administration. And James Allison of the U.S. and Toshiko Honjo of Japan have been awarded the 2018 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for the discovery of a cancer therapy The Nobel Assembly says the winner showed how different strategies for inhibiting the brakes on the immune system can be used in the treatment of cancer. Global News 24 hours a day and on air at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. John Stashower, good morning.
Morning, Bob. Quarter of the way into the NFL season, looking like same old Jets and Giants. Both are 1-3. Jets' third loss in a row, 31-12 in Jacksonville. The offense, engineered by rookie quarterback Sam Darnold, was sluggish, only 178 yards. The Jaguars piled up over 500. The Giants took the opening kickoff, marched right down on the Saints for an early TD, but didn't do much from there, and New Orleans pulled away with 3 second-half touchdowns from Alvin Kamara to win 33-18. Quiet game for Odell Beckham against his hometown team, 7 catches, 60 yards. He looked frustrated, but said there was plenty that went wrong.
It shouldn't be this hard, but it is where it was today. And like I said, everybody's got to be hit. It's not one person doing this or this person. It's got to be everybody. It's a team sport, so you just got to pull it together.
Last night, Baltimore won at Pittsburgh 26-14. Baseball's regular season not over yet. There'll be not one but two games today. Brewers and Cubs at Wrigley Field, Rockies and Dodgers in L.A. at stake. National League division titles, the two losers today, then face off tomorrow in the wild card playoff game. The Yankees are headed for the AL wild card game. Wednesday night, they'll host the Oakland A's. Yanks finished the regular season with an even 100 wins, 62 losses, sitting many of their starters. Yesterday, they lost in Boston 10-2. The Mets' final record, 77-85, a 1-0 win over the Marlins. U.S. still hasn't won a Ryder Cup in Europe since 1993. European team finished it off yesterday in France. The Ryder Cup did not go well for Tiger Woods. He lost all 4 times he played. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Yesterday, 45-year-old Adam Vinatieri became the NFL's career leader in field goals when he made a 42-yarder with 2 seconds left in the first half. The Indianapolis Colts kicker then extended the record with a 44-yarder in overtime. And a sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the 8th consecutive year by Barron's. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. clinched a new trade deal with Canada and Mexico. The new accord, known as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, makes modest revisions to NAFTA. The trade war is hurting China. The country's 2 factory gauges fell more than expected last month. At the same time, China reportedly canceled a security meeting with the U.S. planned for this month. Shares of Tesla are surging pre-market after Elon Musk agreed to pay $20 million to settle fraud charges and give up the chairmanship. And confusion surrounds the FBI probe into Brett Kavanaugh. The White House denied reports it laid out narrow ground rules for the feds, while Democrats are demanding specifics on the investigation. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Erin, thank you. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 199. NASDAQ futures up 58. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. And the 10-year Treasury down 8/32nd, yield 3.09%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. Rescue teams are trying to dig out many victims believed buried in mud in an Indonesian city devastated by Friday's earthquake and tsunami, which killed more than 800 people. A Yale classmate of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he's deeply troubled by Kavanaugh's statements under oath before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Charles Ludington says while attending Yale, Kavanaugh was a frequent drinker and a heavy drinker. And a flock of doves will be released at daybreak as survivors, families of victims, and first responders and elected officials remember the 58 lives lost when a year ago a gunman in a Las Vegas hotel opened fire on a crowd of 22,000 people attending an outdoor country music concert. Bloomberg Sports. In the NFL, the Giants lost to New Orleans, the Jets fell to Jacksonville, Patriots beat Miami, the 49ers lost to the Chargers, and the Ravens beat the Steelers. Baseball, the Yankees ended their regular season with a loss to the Red Sox, the A's fell to the Angels, the Nationals were shut out by Colorado, Orioles were shut down by Houston, and the Giants were shut out by the Dodgers. And in golf, the Europeans beat the U.S. team 17.5 to 10.5 to take back the Ryder Cup they lost last year. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 6:20 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead around the world. And helping us do that in New York is Joe Weisenthal, head of the Americas News Desk for Bloomberg News. In London, we're joined by European News Director David Merritt, and in Singapore, Asia News Desk Editor Shamim Adam. Joe, first to here to you here in New York, chalk one up for President Trump.
Yeah, he got a deal. It's probably ultimately not that different than the NAFTA deal that already existed, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, USMCA. But it does have some tweaks. It's modernized. And so if there was, I guess you could say it is a victory for Trump in that he wanted a deal to get done and actually got something that the three nations agreed to. Still has to pass the various countries, is going to have to pass U.S. Congress. That could be challenged a little bit depending on what happens in November, but yes, a deal. And investors like it. Futures are up nicely this morning along with the peso and the loonie.
David, over to you in Europe. Bonds in Italy extending their drop over the Italian government's budget, and the big sales job is on.
That's right. So the wild ride for Italian markets continues. We had a very heavy sell-off on Friday after this budget proposal from the coalition government. The bonds opening lower again this morning as people are really concerned whether they can get this number through the European Commission and prevent another any deeper schisms, really, between the Italian government and the EU. In fact, it's another couple of weeks before the EU are going to actually comment, probably officially, on these numbers. So with that, of course, comes much more uncertainty. And we can expect lots more volatility to come.
Shamim, in Asia, there's a story on the Bloomberg that President Trump is hurting China's factories, and we have a stimulus hit that's yet to come.
So, you know, we had evidence over the weekend that, you know, that the economic slowdown and the fallout from the trade war is exacerbating. There is a lack of progress in negotiations between Washington and Beijing. And so there's a good chance that the roster of tariffs on Chinese goods will only rise. So the outlook for the economy, for the Chinese economy, hinges increasingly on the effectiveness of stimulus that will be rolled out this year.
Joe, what's ahead for Elon Musk after this settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission?
Well, investors very happy this morning. Tesla shares are surging after Elon Musk did settle with the SEC, basically like a day after the charges were brought. He has to pay a fine. Tesla is paying a fine. It's kind of pocket change for both. He gets to stay as CEO, but has to have a new chairman for a few years. Investors might actually like the outcome because to the extent that it might require the company to bring in more outside oversight, which people think he needs. This might be something that the bulls in the stock will be very happy that maybe the SEC intervened this way and made these changes to the company's governance.
David, back to Europe and some leadership changes at Danske Bank.
Yeah, that's right. This huge scandal that has been engulfing the biggest bank in the Nordic region. They've actually parted ways with their chief executive slightly earlier than people were thinking. And that's really because he presided over the period when this huge amount of money, 200 billion euros, they think mostly of which was laundered money, passed through its Estonian unit. The shares up a little bit this morning in Copenhagen. The big question remains for Danske, though, what sort of regulatory fines they're going to face both in Europe and, of course, in the US. The stock has lost about a third of its value since the beginning of the year.
And Shamim, back to Asia. What's going on with Japanese stocks and Nikkei 225 powering to a 27-year high?
some good news for Japan. We had the blue chip index rising to the highest since 1991, and with the trade war, it wasn't the giant exporters that were making the difference. It was the defensive stocks, the retailers, the drug makers. The Japanese economy is doing well, and that's why people are going to the defensive stocks.
Our thanks to Asia News Desk editor Shamim Adam in Singapore. In London, we were joined by European News Director David Merritt, and in New York by Joe Weisenthal, head of the Americas News Desk for Bloomberg News. S&P futures at this hour up 17 points. That is almost 0.67%. Dow futures higher by 200 points. That is 0.75%. NASDAQ futures up 59 points, again 0.75%. 10-year Treasury prices down 7/32. The yield at 3.0873%. And Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. There's an agreement for a new trade deal to replace NAFTA. U.S. and Canadian negotiators struck an agreement just hours before last night's deadline. President Trump is set to sign the new accord by late November, which will be called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement.
U.S. futures are higher, Mexico's peso and Canada's dollar are stronger, and Japan's Nikkei 225 finished the day at the highest level since 1991. Meanwhile, Italian bonds continue their slide as uncertainty persists over the country's budget.
Shares of Tesla are up 15% in early trading after a settlement over the weekend with the SEC. The agreement calls for CEO Elon Musk to give up his role as chairman and for Tesla to add two independent directors to its board.
At the same time, Musk is hinting that Tesla could be close to its first ever quarterly profit. He made the remarks in an email ahead of Sunday's final day of the third quarter. Bloomberg's Ramy Innocencio has more.
Musk himself saying that when he looks at the numbers coming out for production for the Model 3, he is actually quite bullish. This is in an email that Bloomberg obtained that he sent out to his employees. He says, we haven't seen profits at Tesla yet, ever, but we might be very close to that. If they execute well tomorrow, i.e. Sunday, we will achieve an epic victory.
An initial verdict on that effort may come as soon as today, when we could get Tesla's latest production and deliveries figures.
Shares of Ryanair are down 8% in Dublin, Europe's biggest discount carrier. Cut its full-year profit guidance by about 12%, citing higher fuel prices and labor disputes.
And Danske Bank has relieved CEO Thomas Borgen of his duties following his role in one of Europe's worst money laundering scandals. Denmark's biggest bank is appointing Jesper Nielsen from within its ranks to serve as interim CEO.
And it's now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your volatility index report. The VIX fell on Friday to finish the week at 12.12. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX continues its decline. It now stands at 11.81. And that's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 203. NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 0.6%. Yield 3.08%. Yield on the 2-year 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up about 0.2% or 12 cents to $73.37 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $6.80 to $11.89.40 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. It's limited, not a fishing expedition. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here to explain. Good morning.
And good morning to you, Bob. President Trump's legal team pushing back against reports the White House has laid out narrow ground rules for the FBI probe into Brett Kavanaugh. White House Senior Counselor Kellyanne Conway was on CNN.
The White House is not getting involved in the FBI investigation in that way. The president very much respects the independence of the FBI and feels, as he said last night, that they should be looking at anything that they think is credible within this limited scope.
President Trump ordered the investigation on Friday into the sexual assault allegations against Kavanaugh following a request by Senate Republicans. The probe, though, was limited in scope. The U.S. Supreme Court starts its new term under a cloud of uncertainty as the drama over Kavanaugh's nomination at least temporarily delays dreams of a conservative legal revolution. The justices take the bench at 10 a.m. Washington time this morning to hear arguments in the first of 42 cases they've agreed to decide during the nine-month term. Most of them are low profile, but one in early 2019 will have the court probably revisiting the issue of partisan gerrymandering. In the aftermath of Indonesia's most destructive earthquake and tsunami since 2009, President Joko Widodo's government continues to search for survivors in desperate need of medical attention in the disaster, with a death toll expected atop the already 800-plus confirmed dead. The government also seems likely to face questions over why a buoy system designed to detect tsunamis in Indonesian waters hadn't been operational. Bonds in Italy are dropping for a third day as investors remain wary of the country's budget proposal. Now the country's finance minister must sell Italy's wayward budget to euro area counterparts. Bloomberg's John Fallain reports from Rome.
Italy's finance minister Giovanni Tria lost his battle to prevent a wider budget deficit. But now he's going to face questions on the sidelines of a Eurogroup meeting in Luxembourg. The meeting follows a warning this weekend from President Sergio Mattarella that the government must seek a balanced budget and sustainable public debt. In Rome, John Fallain, Bloomberg Daybreak.
American Dr. James Allison says he's honored and humbled to receive this year's Nobel Prize in Medicine for his discovery of how to release a protein that works as a brake on the human immune system, unleashing immune cells to attack tumors. Allison receives the prize jointly with Tetsuo Honjo of Japan. And in Bloomberg Sports, in the NFL, the Giants lost to New Orleans. The Jets fell to Jacksonville. The Patriots beat Miami, and the 49ers lost to the Chargers. The Ravens beat the Steelers. In baseball, the Yankees end their regular season with a loss to the Red Sox. The A's fell to the Angels. The Nationals were shut out by Colorado. The Orioles were shut out by Houston. And the Giants were shut out by the Dodgers. Golf, the Europeans win the U.S. team 17.5 to 10.5 to take back the Ryder Cup they lost last year. Tiger Woods lost all four of his matches, while Phil Mickelson lost both of his. And Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Let's check shares of Tesla now. They are up 15.75% this morning, after a settlement over the weekend with the SEC, the agreement calling for CEO Elon Musk to give up his role as chairman and for Tesla to add two independent directors to its board. What does it all mean for the company going forward? Here to tell us more is Ben Kallo, research analyst for Robert W. Baird. Thank you for joining us this morning, Ben. So how to read this? Is the cloud now lifted and there's smooth sailing ahead for Tesla?
Well, this was a massive overhang, and we saw on Friday with the shares reaction to the lawsuit potentially barring Elon from both chairman and CEO, the importance that investors place on him. Even though, you know, there's, you know, he's a controversial figure out there, I think that there are many long-term investors that want to invest alongside of Elon. At the same time, this is a good outcome. One of the drawbacks or the things that people are cautious with Tesla on is the corporate governance, and this improves that dramatically.
Yeah, the SEC here is forcing changes in the board. They want two independent directors named to the board. Tell me a little bit about the background there.
Yeah, so Elon has to step down as chairman for at least 3 years, and then an independent chairman will be appointed, and then two independent directors. And so, you know, I think that there will be a lot of speculation about, you know, the types of people to the board, but this is a good outcome. It wasn't a great pathway to get here, but a good outcome for all stakeholders, and definitely for shareholders on a corporate governance side.
What type does the board need?
I think that, you know, I think for there's a lot of different names being thrown out there, and I don't want to add to the speculation, but, you know, I think you want to see someone from, you know, either technology or industrial technology at the chairman level or chairwoman level. And then on the board, on the director side, I think, you know, with the move into Asia, China specifically, someone with a strong background there. And then, you know, I think that you can fill in the blanks there. There's several different other pathways for the third person there that would be good.
This isn't the kind of guy who likes to give up much power, though, over operations of Tesla. How is that going to go?
I think that, you know, whether, you know, he was right or wrong, you know, we can never see that go through in a lawsuit here, but it was, you know, the right time to, you know, sell this so it didn't affect what, you know, all stakeholders, including the employees, at a critical time, in a critical time where we're reaching that inflection point of profitability, where the ramp is going, is continuing to go well and ramp up on the Model 3. We see demand very strong. And so we're entering a period where the distraction of some kind of SEC lawsuit would overshadow all the positive things going on at Tesla right now. And so it's good to get it off the table. And then we get deliveries this week, anytime, you know, between today and Wednesday for the third quarter, which I think is a positive catalyst. You know, that you see ramp up significantly in the third quarter. And then I think the big thing is when they report Q3 results, and then we start to see how the model flips over. We can see how it starts generating cash, which, you know, the skeptics out there don't believe they can ever do. But we're coming to that very quickly. And that's one of the reasons why we think shares continue to climb into that, you know, November reporting date.
Our thanks to Ben Callow, research analyst for Robert W. Baird. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently up 17 points. That is 0.2%. Dow futures have added 203 points. NASDAQ futures up by 58 points in both those cases, up 0.75%. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32. The yield at 3.0855%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, your Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
The only problem with Bloomberg... Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we have some headlines here. Crossing the Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal reporting Pfizer CEO Ian Reid plans to step aside at year's end with Chief Operating Officer Albert Bourla to replace him January 1st. Meanwhile, futures are moving higher. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are surging after the U.S. and Canada reached a NAFTA deal. Dow futures currently up 210 points. S&P's gained 18, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 58. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.09%, and Japan gained 0.5% overnight. European markets are also trading higher, led by 1.3% gains in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, construction spending and ISM manufacturing. Over the weekend, the SEC settled with Elon Musk. Tesla shares are up 15% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Cowman Q1 EPS missed the lowest estimates. In other news, Cowan said that Bojangles may be worth as much as $24 a share in a takeout. And wrapping things up, Intel was downgraded to underweight at Barclays. UPS was upgraded to outperform at BMO. Applied Materials downgraded to hold at Deutsche Bank. And Lam Research downgraded to neutral over at Mizuho. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, dive Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Yes, the U.S. clinched a trade deal with Canada and Mexico that makes modest revisions to NAFTA. In a tweet this morning, President Trump says we reached a wonderful new trade deal with Canada to be added into the deal already reached with Mexico. Confusion surrounds the Kavanaugh probe. The White House denies reports it laid out narrow ground rules for the FBI as Democrats demand to know specifics. A person familiar said the feds were given orders to interview just four people. American James Allison and Tetsuo Honjo of Japan received this year's Nobel Prize in Medicine for the discovery of how to release a protein that works as a brake on the human immune system, unleashing immune cells to attack tumors. Bloomberg Sports. In the NFL, Giants lose to New Orleans. Jets were beaten by Jacksonville. The Patriots beat Miami. The 49ers lose to the Chargers. Baseball, the Yankees end their regular season with a loss to the Red Sox. And at golf, the Europeans beat the U.S. team 17.5 to 10.5 to take back the Ryder Cup they lost last year. And Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S., Canada, and Mexico reaching a new trade deal to replace NAFTA. The White House denying reports it laid out narrow ground rules for the FBI's probe of Brett Kavanaugh. And this afternoon, President Trump presenting the Congressional Medal of Honor. Let's get more on these and other stories now with Bloomberg News Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. Let's start with the new deal to replace NAFTA. What do we know about how it's different than the prior agreement?
Well, in a lot of ways, it makes only modest differences, which I think is worth noting, given that Trump on the campaign trail and since he's been president has really blasted NAFTA and has always kind of said that a bad deal is not preferable to no deal and threatened to walk away from it. So I think it's worth noting that it makes only modest changes. But the accord does involve improved access to Canada's dairy market for U.S. farmers, stronger intellectual property provisions, and tighter rules on auto origin, the origin of auto production. That's according to senior Trump administration officials. So I think that's worth noting that those are some changes that the U.S. is going to be touting politically, the Trump administration is going to be touting politically as being wins for U.S. consumers.
Yeah, he said he could walk away with no deal, but he walks away with a deal, and that's significant in itself.
Absolutely. I think for Trump, who has been so bombastic and so combative on the trade front, I think it's worth noting that I think it's significant that he was able to strike a deal on NAFTA. And however, though, in some ways, I think it does politically give him more room, more latitude to be even more aggressive than he has been or to continue his, you know, sort of combative approach towards China, because he can say, you know, hey, it's not that I'm being unreasonable. I was able to get this NAFTA deal. So really, you know, it gives him some more kind of room to play on the China front.
Okay, let's turn to the FBI's probe of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Is this a case of he who controls the investigation controls the nominating process? We're hearing conflicting reports about just how deep this probe is going to go. What's going on?
Yeah, so what it sounds like is not in dispute is that the probe won't include allegations raised by a third woman who said that whose allegations were raised via her attorney, Michael Avenatti, who also represents Stormy Daniels. Those were some of the more lurid accusations that involved kind of a systemic issue of what she alleged was sort of a gang rape culture that Kavanaugh was at least, you know, tangentially part of. Those won't be part of the probe. It sounds like it's going to be more focused on specifically Blasey Ford's allegations and potentially the allegations of Deborah Ramirez, who was a classmate of Kavanaugh's at Yale. I think the issue here is that, you know, the White House has certainly set terms of the investigation. I think that's not in dispute. I think what the White House is trying to push back against here is the idea that they're going to be really micromanaging the investigation as it goes on. And I think that's what they're trying to dispute. They've said, okay, we've set the terms of this now, but we're going to let the FBI do its work and come back to us. But I think the issue there is that when they do come back, you know, they can ask to investigate more, speak to more people. And it's a little bit unclear on whether or not the White House would have to sign off on that or whether they could do that on their own.
Does the FBI have a particular mission here, a particular question to answer?
I mean, I think the idea is that they're supposed to be looking in specifically to, you know, broadly, any issues in Kavanaugh's past that could, you know, impact his confirmation. Now, that's how the FBI typically approaches a broad background check. But in this specific instance, we know that these allegations raised by Blasey Ford and others came after they had already completed their initial background check. So I think that's the sort of mission of this follow-up investigation is to probe those allegations somewhat.
And while we wait for a resolution of Kavanaugh's confirmation, the Supreme Court starts a new term today. What's on the docket for the eight justices on the High Court?
So they're going to kick it off with a consideration of the scope of the Endangered Species Act. So that should be interesting to watch from an environmental perspective. I think there's some more low-profile cases they'll be tackling, you know, especially given that anything that does end in a tie, while there's only 8 justices, would have to be reheard once the 9th justice, be it Kavanaugh or someone else, is seated. Although that being said, come the beginning of the year, there's a gerrymandering case they may tackle, and also a case that involves employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. So those are kind of some of the highlights to watch during their current term, but it's going to get off to a bit of a slow start, given which is fortunate, I guess, for Republicans who had really hoped to have Kavanaugh seated by now, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
And finally, the White House is wading into energy markets again. This time, it's the president speaking on the phone over the weekend with King Salman of Saudi Arabia. What exactly did they discuss?
Yeah, so this is after Trump has repeatedly, you know, slammed OPEC. And what was interesting to me about this is that Al Arabiya, the Middle Eastern TV station, had more details, really, than what the White House was willing to release. The White House basically just said that they were discussing issues of relevance in the region, whereas it sounded from the other end like what was being discussed more specifically was how to maintain stability, price stability in the oil markets. And so it's interesting that Trump, I think people are on kind of the lookout for some kind of maybe guidance on what might come of all this. But it sounds like, you know, at least Trump is talking directly with the kingdom. And I think that's worth noting for sure, given his criticism of OPEC in the past.
Bloomberg News Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, thank you, Bob. It is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning, along with the currencies of Canada and Mexico, as negotiators agreed to preserve a three-way trade block. The breakthrough helped support equity markets, with European shares climbing as havens including the yen and gold fell. Meanwhile, Italian bonds are dropping for a third day as investors remain wary of potential friction between the populist government and European Union over the country's budget proposal. Again, we are watching futures. S&P futures up 18 points this morning. Dow futures up 212. And NASDAQ futures are up 58. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. Traders and investors do have a lot to keep an eye on this week. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Trade, tariffs, and plenty of Fed speakers this week will be front and center. We'll also be getting September auto sales, along with a slew of economic data, including the all-important September jobs report. As for the earnings outlook, Karen Hyatt is with Allianz Global Investors.
So you look at the earnings revision trend this year, it's quite positive. I mean, not only positive from the standpoint the beginning of this year, we've seen a big uptick. Usually earnings start high and then work their way lower as the year progresses. And so we've seen this continuous uptick.
Among the U.S. companies reporting earnings this week, PepsiCo and Costco. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We will be watching shares of Pfizer today. CEO Ian Reid plans to step aside at year's end, and Chief Operating Officer Albert Bourla will replace him January 1st. That, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, which cited unidentified people familiar with the matter. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.